Hey everyone, let's take a look at Matthew chapter 12. We're going to read verses 1 through 14. At that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, and they began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, "Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." He said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priests? Or have you not read in the law how on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are guiltless? I tell you, something greater than the temple is here. And if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." He went on from there and entered their synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they asked him, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" so that they might accuse him. He said to them, "Which one of you who has a sheep, if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not take hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value is man than a sheep? So it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath." Then he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." And the man stretched it out, and it was restored, healthy, like the other. But the Pharisees went out and conspired against him, how to destroy him. In this section of Matthew, Jesus has had his initial run of ministry and his training and sending out of the 12 in their run of ministry. And we've been focusing now on responses, on how people have responded. Jesus has shown that they didn't respond to John the Baptist, who came with an austere message. They didn't respond to him, who came with a generous message. And in the last section, he said it's going to be more bearable for Sodom and Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for many of these cities, because here's Jesus himself come from the Father, doing miracles and explaining the miracles and teaching the way of life, and everyone's resisting it. In these two scenes, we get the sort of tragic culmination of resistance to Jesus, because it's here, particularly around the issue of Sabbath, that the plot to kill Jesus emerges. And in both cases, it has to do with the Pharisees. And we have to understand that the Pharisees' interpretation of the law was one of their most sacred understandings. After all, the observance of the Sabbath is central. It's a part of the Ten Commandments. But the question becomes, what is work? Right? If we're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, is it work to pick grain and eat it? Is it work to do a miracle on the Sabbath? And the Pharisees had interpreted it rather austerely. There's very few things you can do on the Sabbath. There's very few things that don't qualify as work. And Jesus comes along with a more generous view, and they don't like his view. They don't like that he's violating their interpretation and application of the law. Remember, too, in the section immediately before this, Jesus has said, "Come to me who are weary. Come to me those who are heavy laden." Part of what he's saying is the Pharisees have laid heavy burdens on you and inflicted scrupulous religious observance on you, but they don't really understand the law. I do. I want to give you rest. I want you to take my yoke and learn from me how to live life. And I will give you rest. I will show you what Sabbath is all about. So in one way, we might say true Sabbath is learning from Jesus how to live the Sermon on the Mount. And of course, the Pharisees have said no to this. So in the first scene, his disciples are just walking through the grain fields and picking wheat. Now, in our day, if you walk through a farmer's field and pick some of his crop, he might get after you. But in the Old Testament, there were laws that said that if you went through a farmer's field, you could pick enough just to satisfy you. Not enough to harvest and make money, but enough to satisfy you. So that's not unlawful. The issue is the Sabbath. Well, Jesus responds to their sort of strident policing of his disciples with three quick thrusts from Scripture. In other words, Jesus is in part teaching them how to read the Bible, and in part he's throwing one scripture after another at them to show them that they're mistaken. The first one is, of course, when David is on the run from Saul. He is able to eat the bread that was in the presence, that was in the tabernacle, and he's not punished for it. It's okay. This seems to say or suggest that in this case, human need overrides religious observance. In other words, if there's some sort of religious observance, but there's a human need that emerges out of it, well, that takes precedence, and that's okay. In the next, Jesus goes to the law and says that, look, on the Sabbath day, priests do work in the temple, and it's okay. In other words, being in the presence of God, being in the temple, makes what they're doing okay, because it's in service to God. It's a part of worship. Jesus seems to be saying that he's a new temple. In fact, he says one greater than the temple is here. Well, the temple was pretty great. It is none other than the place where the Israelites met God and drew near to God. And Jesus is saying, they're here with me. And so there's this dispensation because I am the temple. I am the one that the Father has sent to be the place where people meet God. And then finally, he quotes from Isaiah. So he's quoted from the historical narratives. He's quoted from the first five books of Moses. And now he quotes from a prophet. And he says, I wish you guys understood this. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. In other words, part of what Jesus is trying to say is that the Sabbath, if you guys really understood it, is about mercy. It's about bringing refreshment. It's not about religious scrupulosity or religious discipline. Human sympathy, not superhuman discipline, is what God is looking for. The regard for the life of others and bringing rest and human thriving to others. And then Jesus makes this remarkable statement, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. That's a pretty exalted statement. Jesus is saying essentially he's in charge of the Sabbath. Well, who else is in charge of the Sabbath but God himself? This is another one of those passages that brings out the clear implication that Jesus shares in God's nature. Then we have another Sabbath scene and another clash with the Pharisees. And in this case, they pick the fight again. Here's a man who comes into the synagogue who's got a palsied or a withered hand. He can't use his hand. And they pick the fight. They say, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? Again, the implication is clearly, no, it's not. You better not. And again, Jesus is telling them, you guys don't understand what the Sabbath is for. You think it's for harsh discipline. It's not for harsh discipline. It's for refreshing. It's for the giving of life. It's for restoration. The point is the refreshing of workers, not religious scrupulosity. And so he uses an example. None of you guys, if your lamb fell into a pit, would fail to get it out on the Sabbath. How much more important is it to bring relief to a human? You know, guys, it's almost as if Jesus is saying, if one of your sons fell into a hole, a pit on the Sabbath, you wouldn't go over and say, hey, guy, hey, son, just wait an hour or two more. The Sabbath will be over and then I'll rescue you. You would do it then. You would meet the human need in front of you immediately. And that would be the fulfillment of the Sabbath. That is, after all, what the Sabbath is all about. And essentially, Jesus is saying, guys, it's biblical on the Sabbath to do the right thing. After all, that is what the Sabbath is all about. And I would suggest that in all these things, in the tabernacle, in the Sabbath, in the law, Jesus is saying they're all pointing to doing the right thing, to doing good, to bringing refreshing and restoration and health to others. Well, this precipitates in Matthew the decision that they need to kill him. The Pharisees go out. They're infuriated. You can imagine that they're used to kind of fawning respect, that everybody sort of kisses up to them, that they can go around policing people and making sure they're following their interpretation of the Sabbath, and they get respect. And here's a guy who comes along and says, you guys are totally missing your understanding of the Sabbath. You don't know God. You don't know how he works. You don't understand the heart of the Sabbath. And so he's deliberately flouting their rules. It's important to note, Jesus doesn't fail to observe the Sabbath. He actually observes it in letting his disciples eat or in healing. He shows what the Sabbath is all about. Well, they have made an idol of their interpretation of the Sabbath. They've made an idol of their position. They've made an idol of the respect, the fawning respect of others. And Jesus is tearing that idol down. And of course, they're furious. They want him killed. This scene all reminds me of the unnamed prophet who goes to preach against Jeroboam's altar that he built, his idolatrous altar that he built. the prophet comes to speak against it and they want him killed. Well, this prophet has come to tell them that their interpretation of the law and their reputation is an idol and they want to kill him as well. Remember, Jesus has just thanked the Father in a few prior verses that he has hidden these things from the wise. Well, the Pharisees have shown themselves to be wise, but may we show ourselves to be children who have learned that we want to be free of the burden of the scribes and Pharisees, and we've come to Jesus to learn rest from him, to learn rest from him by learning from him how to fulfill the law and how to walk in the fullness of life with the grace that he gives as our intimate teacher. Amen.